Hey everybody, welcome back. Still looking at developing universal Windows apps with HTML and JavaScript. I'm Jeremy, this is Michael, and we're gonna go.
Yes.
Yes, right answer. We're looking at module 11. 11, that's insane. We're 11 modules, and that's just in course two. You guys are troopers for sticking with us here. But it's going to be, not that it's not going to be incredible content. I mean, it's going to be thrilling. But this one is about managing user information. And again, we're kind of trying to pack more than one concept into one module. It's all about users, but in this case, we're going to talk about authenticating users, authorizing users, managing your users' information, and by that I mean managing some of the stuff that's available to them through the API in your app, so you can access their contacts, you can access their appointments from within your app. And of course, there's a bunch of other things that you can do, so this is not an exhaustive list of the ways in which you can manage your users' content. It's just a couple of samples, okay? It's all we really have time for in the scope of a module. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is recognizing your user. We're going to talk about authentication and the user's identity. And there are two concepts that I want to talk about. The first is authentication, okay? So authentication is when somebody comes to you by way of your app and says, "Hi, I'm Joe Dirt." Actually, I think that's not actually Joe Dirt. Joe Dirt would look like this.
There you go.
Yeah, gotta have a, anyway.
The fictitious character that we aren't referencing, yes.
Right, yeah, yeah. Joseph Soil.
Yes. Yes.
So anyway, this is somebody coming to you through your app saying, "I am Joe Dirt." And you have to ask the question, how can I be sure that this is actually Joe Dirt? Because I'm getting ready to give him some information as if he's Joe, and I need to know. I didn't actually plan for that to rhyme, but it works great.
It did work.
And so when somebody comes to you and says, "I am so-and-so," you have to authenticate them. Okay? Once you've authenticated them, then you need to authorize them. Okay? So see, this guy has been authenticated. We know exactly who he is, but now he's coming to us with another question. Could I see that medical record, please? Well, that's an important question, right? You as the app developer are answering the question to, is this person allowed to see this critical, maybe personally identifiable or whatever, information?
That's right. I mean, and sometimes what happens in that case is when you actually know it's that person, just like earlier in the day when I asked a group of people out here, hey, and they knew who I was, and I said, "Can I follow you?" And they said no. But they knew who I was.
All right. That's a great example. It's those two different concepts of authenticating and then authorizing, and both of those have to be handled in your app. Oftentimes, for a pretty simplistic app, there's not really information that you're trying to keep from anybody, except that you're just kind of trying to create a multi-tenant scenario where you have people coming in saying, "I'm Joe, very well, I'll show you Joe's information. I'm Sally, very well, I'll show you Sally's information." You just want to recognize people so that you can show them the appropriate data or remember little things about them, okay? It's not always mission critical information. But those are the concepts. And in the process of trying to authenticate people, things get messy. Authentication and authorizations are one of my least favorite computer science topics because it's hard. It's always been hard. And what we're always trying to do is just make it easier, okay? I think there's just a hole in my brain in that topic. And there are some people that I know that are excellent at security, authentication, and authorization. It's just not me, okay? So one of the ways in which the platform is going to make your life easier in this area is by giving you access to something in the system called the credential locker. And the credential locker is a convenient and secure way to store user credentials. It's actually pretty limited in scope in what it is. It just stores user credentials. That's all it does. That your app uses to connect to services like online services, media, social networking, and stuff like that. So you can store these IDs and passwords inside this this credential locker, and then you can automatically pull them out and apply them or use them to log into services later on. And the cool thing about it is that it can automatically roam with the user's Microsoft account. So just like Michael was showing us, I believe it was yesterday, how you can store, yes, when you can store things in the user's roaming settings or roaming files, and whatever you drop into roaming settings or files will be synced up to the cloud, and then synced down to their other device and available to them. So this is great, because this means that if you make an app and the user opens it on their tablet and it syncs it up to the cloud, and then they go open it on their PC and it's been synced down, so they go to log into a service and the credential locker is available to them, so it just logs them right in seamlessly,
yeah.
All right? Easier for the developer, easier for the user. And the whole thing is secure. You're not just storing it in the roaming settings, which you could, but that would be a tremendous security flaw. Instead, you're storing it in this place where it's going to be safe and secure. So let's take a look at Credential Locker. And once again, I have employed the MSDN demos in order to show you the Credential Locker. And I thought I already had that one open, but I didn't. So let me open it. Here it is. And if you're wondering if I have 7 instances of Visual Studio running, the answer is yes, I do. I'm going to run this, and we're going to take a look at what the credential locker, which you'll also see called the password vault, what it does for you. Okay. Now, in this scenario, I'm able to enter a resource name. So in this case, I'm going to enter something like, I'm going to use the example here and just do facebook.com. The username is Joe Dirt, and the password is, well, I'm not going to tell you. And I'm going to go ahead and add that credential. And then if I scroll down, you can see that the credential has been saved. And I'm always able to hit read credential and read that credential out for that service, okay? And I can also just manage these credentials by putting these in the settings flyout. So watch, I'll drag over from the right side of my screen. I'll do that 3 times just in case you missed it the first 2. And I'm gonna hit settings. And this is where your app can register some settings that pertain to your app. Remember, everything above the line is yours. Everything below the line belongs to the system, okay? I'm gonna hit accounts, and inside accounts, I have a list of all the different services. Let's go add one more just so you can see how that works. And let's say this is also Joe Dirt and also of an incredibly secret password. And to get to that settings flyout, I can also just hit manage. And those are both in there, stored securely in the credential locker. And if I was able to sign out of this machine and sign into a different one, you'd see that those were available on the other machine as well. Excellent. Okay, let's see what's next. The web authentication broker. By the way, this is just a little bit of a potpourri of, a little bit of a smattering of various security-related concepts that are available to you when you're making universal apps to make life easier. One of them is the web authentication broker. The web authentication broker is able to speak these modern security authentication languages of OAuth and OpenID and talk to all these protocols out there that use them, which these days is practically all of them, okay? You're gonna hit all the major players, authentication choices by implementing web authentication broker. And it's going to not only make it easy for you as a developer to allow the user to sign in with their service of choice, but it's also going to enable single sign-on so that they can sign on one time, and that's going to persist across apps, okay? And across devices. I'm not going to show an example of the web authentication broker, but you can actually I could show you, we looked at a demo in Code Show. Oh, I was just there. We looked at a demo called WAMS Authentication, and I showed you how it uses the custom UI of, for instance, we went to Facebook and it brings up the Facebook UI. This is using OAuth scheme, so that's sort of an example. Now, what about fingerprint authentication? We want the system to recognize this valuable means of signing into a system or otherwise providing authentication. We want the operating system to provide that for us, and we want to be able to easily access that. So we are. We're able to get biometric fingerprint verification. This is definitely an authentication. You know, none of us has the same fingerprint, so I scan my fingerprint, and the system knows that I am actually Joe Dirt because nobody else has that fingerprint. So let's go ahead and take a look at the user consent verifier demo that's in the MSDN samples pack. So I'm gonna get to that one right here. I'm gonna run it. And here we are. Now, first of all, we're going to check to see that the current system supports fingerprint authentication. And the system that I'm running here, I really don't know if it does or not, so this is a great question to ask. Check availability. User has no fingerprints registered. I haven't actually seen that message. I think that means that it doesn't support it. Because I've only ever seen it say, yeah, it's ready, it works. But this might mean that it has it and I just don't have any fingerprints. Do you see this?
Yeah.
Fingerprints.
I don't Windows have any SDK.
I don't have any fingerprints registered, yeah. Unfortunately. But it might actually be enabled.
Maybe so this is have a certain language registered.
Yeah,
you forgot
right.
to change it.
That's my pseudocode. That's pseudocode for fingerprints.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and request consent and see if this is going to work. I highly doubt that this is going to work on this machine, and that's kind of what I was expecting. So I hit request a consent, and it says that you don't have any fingerprints registered, but if it would have had a fingerprint registered and popped up, I would have had an opportunity with this message to tell the user whatever I want. Because remember, it's actually the system that's prompting the user, not your app. So when the system prompts the user, you as the developer might want an opportunity to tell the user something. Hey, I need your fingerprint in order to whatever. And it's going to display that to the user, ask for the fingerprint, and then it's going to report back to your app that yes, we're positive that this is in fact Joe. Okay? Let's go to the next concept, that is certificate authentication. Certificate authentication provides a higher level of trust when you're authenticating a user. Apps that do this beyond just user ID and password can be used for certificates for authentication. And I don't have a demo for that one, so just so you know, you're capable of doing that in your app by way of WinRT. Enterprise authentication. This allows you to authenticate people by way of the classic Windows domain credentials. So if you're creating an app for a line of business scenario and you're authenticating people using Windows domain credentials, this is going to come in really handy. You're going to be able to authenticate them based on those credentials and then know exactly who they are without implementing any other authentication schemes within your app. Now, the Microsoft account, formerly known as Live Account or Live mm-hmm. Services, you can use that to sign them into your account. And the cool thing with this is that, first of all, it's going to work with all of the live services. So it's going to create kind of a seamless experience between all the live services and any app that implements this. But the other nice thing is that it's going to provide single sign-on. So for instance, I and most people that use Windows 8 are already signed in to their Microsoft account because the process of signing into the system encourages you to do that, to create a Microsoft account. So if I'm already signed into my system with a Microsoft account, I'm already recognized. And so if I use this scheme, it's like getting something for free. I just am automatically recognized. And let me show you something there. I'm gonna jump to CodeShow. So this one is available to you in CodeShow. And by the way, Cortana sometimes hears us say Kojo, but it's actually CodeShow.
That's true.
So let's look at the authentication example called Live Authentication. So with Live Authentication, I'm using the Live SDK. Remember the one we had trouble with yesterday? I did redeem myself, by the way. If not for you all, at least for myself. In fact, let me go just prove that this was my problem and not Ikon who created the OneDrive folders. Watch this. You ready for this? I'm going to hit fetch it now. Are you ready?
I am.
Go. There you go. Now everybody knows what folders I have in my OneDrive.
That was very exciting.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Okay, so back to Live Authentication. Oops, I did that wrong. Live Authentication. Now, I'm gonna show you, first of all, what I use in the SDK. Remember that I talked to you about scope. For the OneDrive demo, it was using a scope that suggested I need access to your OneDrive, including write access, okay? And I told you you should always use as little scope as you possibly can, as little scope as you need, so that your user doesn't get wigged out and go, why do they want to write to my OneDrive? I'm just trying to authenticate. So in this case, we're using simply Where is it? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not having to explicitly provide my scope because I'm just using a different method. I'm using the auth login. So I'm going to go ahead and log in here, and it's got an event that says, whenever the user is logged in, this is what I want you to do. So it's going to say you're already signed in. And if it's not, oh, here's the actual method here. Otherwise, I want you to log in. Oh, and I'm sorry, I am specifying scope. I'm specifying simply the sign-in scope. Sign-in scope is not going to allow me to see appointments, get your contacts. It's not going to allow me to sign into OneDrive or anything like that. It's just going to allow me to be authenticated. You could read that as just the authentication scope. So let's give that a try. Here we go. Signing into live. Go. Anticlimactic, you're already signed in. But extremely convenient, right? Because I'm already signed in on the system, and this is exactly what I want to happen. I don't want to have to go through and type my credentials in and maybe even do my two-factor authentication code. I don't want to have to do all of that. I already have, and so this is exactly the message that I want. You are already signed in. And if I wasn't, then I would want it to go through that process and then keep me signed in for subsequent sessions, right?
Absolutely.
That is that, which is always true. Credential picker. You can use the credential picker to present your users with the Windows UI for entering their usernames and passwords. Okay? So instead of you prompting them with a user ID box and a password box, setting that password box to use the dots instead of their actual password, and then hoping that, you know, you covered all your bases and did it right, you can just use the credential picker. And we'll look at an example, this time from MSDN. And it is here, the credential picker, go. Now I want to, whenever I launch the credential picker, if I don't specify a message or target or anything, it's gonna require the message. So I'm gonna say that the message is, please enter your credentials. And I don't need a target, I don't believe, maybe I do. Didn't think I did. Oh, apparently I do. I need a message and a target. So I say my message was, please enter your credentials. And in fact, it's put that message right there. Mm-hmm. And then it's asking me to, let me try that again. It's asking me to enter my username and password. And you can be sure that this is being done in a secure way, okay? And then it's also going to give us the various options, whichever options are available to connect, and then when I hit OK, it's going to come back to my app with this information. So let's try this again. Let's say launch, and then let's enter Joe Go, and I'm going to say that's what I'm looking for, and it's brought back a hashed version of my password. So notice my app never had access to that password, which is good. You don't want access to that password. It's only got a hashed version so that it can be compared and verified, okay? But it's brought you back all of the critical information from that credential process, that credential gathering process. Besides just the message, you can also provide a caption. So let's just type the words message and caption here so that you can see what, in fact, it's going to, where those are going to go. So this is kind of nice. It kind of captures more of the experience by saying, here's the caption, here's the message, and so on. And I can also pass in some options. So I can say, besides passing in the caption, the message, and the target, I can also say that I want to negotiate for which protocol I'm going to use. That's the default, or I can be explicit about it. And I can decide that I want to show them a checkbox to save these credentials and determine whether or not that's going to happen. So now I have a checkbox to remember my credentials. All right, that's the credential picker. It can come in handy in your app. Besides making things easier for you and the user, it can also provide a more polished feel to your app. When a user sees a familiar screen like this, they go, yeah, this feels right. This feels like the way it's supposed to be. So that's always good. I just want to show you quickly, I did show you the WAMS authentication the other day, and actually just minutes ago, but this is one of those, you know, hijacks the UI and brings in the UI from the authenticating service. That's a really good experience, and that's available to you also in authentication. So now we're going to look at managing the user's contacts through your app, okay? So you know that you have Joe signed into the system, and he has contacts. But he doesn't just have contacts stored in one place. He has contacts that are available to him because on the Windows platform, he's got his account hooked up to whatever services he's chosen to. So for instance, I hook up my contacts to my various social networks, and I want those all to be available in my people hub, okay? And so I'm gonna show you the MSDN contact picker example. And in the contact picker, I'll show you this in Windows. This one's a universal app, so it's available in Windows Phone as well. It's going to allow me in my app to simply give the user a UI like this, pick a contact. And then I don't have to, in my UI, I do not have to program anymore, because when they touch that button, it jumps out to the contact picker. That's not what I was expecting. Let me try this again. Okay, there we go. Sorry about that. It defaulted to a different location when I ran this before. So when the user picks a sample, they get to this contact picker and they have the option of using the UI that you create or using another contact provider. And so I can jump to people and I can look at this list of people that is available to me. And these are all people that come in, not just through this app, but if you look at the bottom of the screen here, you can see that these are people that come in through my various services, okay? So those folks all come in and are available to me in the contact picker, or I can specify that I want to look for it here in the contact picker rendered UI. So in the contact picker app, I'm able to say, oh, there's these various people and I can bring them in, and now those are the people that are available to me. And I can also say I want to pick multiple contacts, and now whenever I pick from my people app, I get a UI such that I can select, I thought I could select multiple people, apparently not. It's supposed to let me. Anyway, the Code Show demo does. Let me see if the Code Show demo is available. I'm going to go to contact, selecting user contacts. There we go. So I wrote some code for you. This should be a little bit easier, and you can see exactly what it's made of here. Basically, I just instantiate a picker. I do some little bit of configuration, tell it what I want the mode to be, what I want it to actually pull back. And then whenever the user clicks this button, I want to do this pick multiple contacts async. And when done, then I want to render the contacts that were picked to the screen. Okay, let's give this a try. Pick contacts. There we go. Because the contact picker has been installed on this machine, it's available to me here. So I can choose these people. Let's just choose those four and hit select. And now it's brought those into my app and I'm able to use those in the context of my app. Okay. I can also pick contacts from my own source. And notice that now I, come on, give me my checkboxes. It says it's syncing, so I wonder if,
why? Well, maybe you have to just wait a second.
Do you think
Because
so?
You are so popular that you just have thousands of contacts.
These are people I'm begging to be my friends, and in fact, some are family. I don't know why. I'm not sure why that failed, but that was a fail, because that was supposed to allow me to pick multiple contacts. So I'll just go ahead and, in all my spare time, I'll troubleshoot that
I
demo.
I pressed
and
the believe button.
Press the believe button.
I
That's
did.
The way to do it. Okay, so that's how you pick contacts. Now let's look at managing the user's appointments. This means you could make an app that goes and checks items on their calendar, adds items to their calendar, adds recurring appointments, things like that. So we're going to look at the appointments API. And this is under managing user appointments. We're going to look at the appointments API. So I'm going to jump to, this is in MSDN, so there's appointments. I'm going to run it. And, you know, I mentioned this in passing, but I want to say it again. In the contact picker, this was available to us in Windows Phone as well. So let me just run that real quick so you can see that that's available, because that's really important. On a phone, you have the same kind of conglomerated list of contacts. And so if I pick multiple contacts, I want to be able to pick from this list as well. And it's actually going to be picking from the list of contacts that you have stored physically on the phone, but also in all of the various connected services. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want you to miss that. Okay, back to this one, appointments. Let's create an appointment. Here's a date time picker. Yeah, how about in a little while? The subject is something, the location is somewhere, and the details are something or other. Duration, 30 minutes. This looks good. Let's create this appointment. Bam. So now I've created this appointment, and this appointment is available on my calendar in my my configured profile. I'm logged in with my Microsoft account, so on my calendar, this is available to me, okay? I can not only create, I'm sorry, that was the creation of an appointment. Now I'm gonna actually add it to my calendar. So there it's adding it to my calendar, and now it's on my calendar, is what I meant
Sweet.
To say.
Sweet.
It has an ID. I can reference that calendar uniquely with this ID. So if I'm making an app out of this, I want to remember that ID because I may want to replace an appointment with some, not remember it. Not
you're
remember.
Good.
I want my
I'm
my
loopy,
app
but you're
to
good.
Remember it.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you remember what it was? Let me put you on the spot.
It had a five in it.
No, it actually didn't. There are no fives.
Oh, it does.
Oh, okay, it did. It had a five.
I do believe.
Okay, so if I want to, for instance, replace an appointment, I can paste that. This is just in the silly UI. In your app, you would have it stored in roaming storage or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You would use that ID, and then you would replace that with another one with perhaps a slightly different date,
right.
And you would put that in there. Also remove, you could paste that in
Correct.
There. And when I add, am I able to copy in this UI? Let me give it a try. Nope, I'm not. Is it? There is a five in it here.
I knew it.
Well, there's a five in that one. So I can also show the time frame, and I can handle all of this recurrence. So let's go back and look at what we've covered so far. That was the appointments. And we have talked about the authentication and user identity. We've talked about using these APIs to grab contacts from the system that are configured not just explicitly on the system, but in any of the user's configured services. And we've talked about doing the same thing with the user's appointments.
That's really exciting. I really like the idea that you could create an app that would create a service, and they would use your app because they know it'll land on where they typically go. That's really nice. Or even if it's not explicitly to manage their life, it's to manage a portion of it.
Yeah.
They can say, you can say, well, this app allows me to at least put this as a reminder or a detail for you. I think that's really cool.
Can you see, like, if I have an app that maybe goes to any of your social networks and looks at events that are occurring on those networks and lists them to me, I could have a button right next to one of those that says, just add this to my calendar. And now your app is able to take the time and date and subject and whatever information from that and just, bam, add that right to your calendar. And there you go. There you have it.
That's really good.
Yeah. And it makes it pretty easy. I think that it's clear and helpful.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're a little early on this one too. Let's. I'm going to glance once again at the chat room and see if there's anything that I can answer for folks while we're live here. Can you use Credential Picker with Facebook, Google, Twitter, or is it only live? So the credential picker is not specific to any of those services. In fact, it's not specific to live at all. It's just a generic way to request credentials using either Basic or Kerberos or any of these general schemes. So I'm not exactly sure how to answer that, if the social networking works within there or not. As a matter of fact, let's go look at it. I'll go to the credential picker and launch that one more time. We'll say message caption target launch, and oh, that won't help. Let's go to the negotiation schemes and see what that tells us. Basic, Kerberos, NTLM, Digest, Cred SSP, or Custom. And I am going to suppose that under Custom, you could create whatever protocol you want there. I don't want to do that work. I'll hire somebody to do it, if you know what
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that one.
Yeah, it would probably be fine, but it would probably just be, it's basically a different function. This is a wrapper for your actual authentication scheme of choice. This is just the UI for asking the user for entering it on the screen. Let's see if there are any other questions that we can answer here on the air. There we go. Yeah, and as somebody else made clear, you would probably use something like Web Authentication Broker if you're trying to interface with those other services. So
yeah.
Adam is in our chat room right now. Thank you very much for that, Adam.
Mr. Tulipper.
Mr. Tulipper.
Or coworker.
Okay, anything else you want to add to the topic of users?
No, I don't have anything else to add. I can only say that the very last module of the day or of the course will be coming up next, and that's something I have a little information in store for you.
That was cheesy.
I'm loopy.
All right, well, we'll see you guys after a 10-minute break. Thanks for joining us. See you soon.